Hi, I'm Leonard. Again, I did the same last week. If I haven't met you before, lovely having you here with us. And I think you're joining us at an exciting time. We, just so you know, just a heads up to give you a bit of context, but most of us were part of the morning congregation here in Stellenbosch, and we felt that God was leading us to start meeting in the evenings, and we took about 40 people with us, and we actually officially kicked off last week. So within a week, there's more than 40, which is great. And so it's really an exciting time. I want to just say to you, we'd love it if you jump in hands and feet with us. We'd love it if you take this journey of like a new church and starting a new church, if you walk this journey with us. We'd absolutely love having more of you joining us as we do that. So tonight, well, actually, let me say this. Last week, those of you who were there, the message mostly went about doing church God's way. And in a nutshell, we said that if we do it God's way, God will be here. If we don't do it God's way, God is not really going to be here. That's biblical. So if you find that a bit strange, I can give you scriptures or you can go listen to the message afterwards. But we really want to be a church that do not ask the question, Jesus, or not. We don't want to ask the question, what do people want of this church? But we want to ask the question, what does God want of this church? Because if we do it God's way, we will be blessed. There will be unity. We'll move forward. And so that's an exciting journey. And so for the next couple of weeks, we actually just want to take time and speak about a couple of key crucial things that we find in the Bible that are keys that God gave to us to say, if you do this, I love it. I love it. I want you to do this. And so we're going to work through a specific portion for the next couple of weeks. I'm quickly going to read through it, then I'll pray, and we're going to start with today's message, Acts 2, 42 to 47, if you have it there. You don't have it there. All right. Let me quickly read it to you. I'm just going to open up my Bible. Acts 2, 42 to 47. So this is such an amazing scripture because the book of Acts is the story of the church and how the church of Jesus Christ started. And so we sitting here today, we are offspring of the book of Acts. This is where all of it started. Every single church that you've ever heard of, ever seen, it started in the book of Acts. Oh, you've got it. Thank you. It started in the book of Acts, and not only that, the Bible gives us this clear snapshot of the book of Acts and the very first healthiest church in all of history. The Bible says, I'm going to show you what these people lived like, and we are in the fortunate position that we can take that for ourselves and say, God, we want to live like that. We want to do the same. And so we're going to preach about that first part tonight. They devoted themselves. And then I'm going to go on to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were being done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so we want to take a couple of these things and say, God, challenge us with your Bible. Shape us, mold us. We want to do it your way and not what's comfortable for us. And so we're going to look at some of these things. But before I start with the beginning of this, the key for us to start with all of these things, devotion, being devoted to God. I'm going to pray for us, and then we go for it. Yeah, God, thank you, Lord, for church. Thank you for the beauty of church, Lord, and we thank you that church that's working properly like it should, church that is according to your word, built according to your blueprint, your manuscript. Lord, I thank you that that's a church that is beautiful in your sight and beautiful in the sight of the world. And I pray that as we start this new church, God, make us that type of church. Make us a church that put a smile on your face. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So one of the first things that I learned as a Christian, and it's really an important lesson that all of us are going to have to learn, and this might shock you. It might shock you a little bit, but that's a good thing. The Bible should shock us. It is that Jesus Christ is totally different to us. Like, totally different. We think we know what Jesus is like, and then you open up the Bible and you read a few things in there and you're like, oh my word, I thought there was a halo above his head, I thought he had a beautiful beard, I thought he just went around giving hugs to people. That's what I thought initially. And then the more I started opening up the Bible, I saw, wait, Jesus is a bit different to me. And I remember in the early days, there was a guy, I read a quote of a guy who said, God created man in his own image. But man, human beings, being the perfect gentlemen and gentle ladies, not to exclude anyone, we try to return the favor. And so what we as human beings do is we try and make God into our image. We think, I know what I'm like, and therefore God needs to be like I am. And that is a major error that's crept up into us. And I want to say it's not the truth. Like, think of how you are. Jesus is different. He's different in many ways. And I'm going to look at one scripture quickly as we start that's going to show you how different he is to us. I would never do this. In fact, I would cringe if I ever had to do what Jesus is doing here. But I know that that is the right way, even though it's uncomfortable for me. John 6, verse 53 to 54, and then verse 66. Let me just give you some context. Jesus is standing with a large crowd, something like tonight, almost similar, maybe a bit more, because he was Jesus, and I'm Leonard, not the same again. It was a massive crowd. And Jesus looks at this crowd, and I know Leonard, and I would have been like, awesome, it's a crowd, it's massive, great. Jesus, just don't do anything to offend them. Please, Jesus, don't do the weird stuff. Don't chase them away, Jesus, please. It's finally getting to the place where we're growing. Please, Jesus, just keep it as it is. And look at what Jesus actually does. Verse 53, Jesus said to them, this is now speaking to the crowd. He's saying this to us tonight. And he's speaking metaphorically, so don't be too freaked out. Be a little freaked out. And I'll explain this to you. If you're a new Christian, you don't know what this means. I tell you the truth, Jesus said. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, referring to himself, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Next verse. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Shocking, Jesus. It's so bad. People are going to leave. And then in verse 66, bad reference, eh? 666. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. What the heck is he doing? What is he thinking? Jesus knew when he said that people would turn their backs and say, I do not want to follow that Jesus. That is just too freaky. And I can just see the disciples. Imagine them. They would think, oh my word, Jesus. When Jesus started speaking and he says, unless you, and they're like, oh no, not the bleed and flesh thing again. Oh no, Jesus, please don't. Please don't. And then he goes ahead and says it. I imagine the cringe in the disciples thinking, oh, we're going to have to start over again. Thank you, Jesus. You messed it up. I can imagine them thinking that. I know that because I sometimes think like that. Have any of you ever been in this place where you invite a friend to church? And you think, please, Jesus, not the weird stuff. Please, Jesus, like, let today just be normal. Please, Jesus, I want this person to get to know you. I want them to, like, not be freaked out. Please, God, no speaking in tongues out loud, like, no, like, Ica running around, which is great. She's being obedient. Like, none of that stuff. That's going to freak the people out. They're going to leave. Please, Jesus, don't. Don't do that. And I tell you, Jesus has a way of then doing exactly the opposite of what I ask him. Normally, he just freaks people out. And why does he do that? Why does he stand in front of a crowd and he preaches this message that tell people or that cause people to actually walk away? I'll tell you. Because Jesus is not as interested in a crowd as we are. He's interested in devoted people. Jesus can look at a crowd and he can actually know who's there because they are devoted and who is there because it's just a fun experience. And when Jesus looks at us tonight, I'm telling you, I don't know how many people are here, 100, 80, 100. Jesus, and this might be a bit shocking, Jesus, when he counts, he doesn't necessarily count 80 or 100 people. He counts devotion. And he says, I'll even say something to let those who are just here for the fun of it actually be skricked off, to be scared of it, to walk away, because I want to test your heart. I want you to be here if you're in it for me, if you're devoted to my glory, to seeing me, to getting to know me. Mike Breen says the following. He says, most of us have become quite good at this church thing. And yet, disciples or devoted people are the only thing that Jesus really cares about. He's not counting the number of people there, nor our attendance, or our budget, or our buildings. Jesus is counting devoted people. And that's the question for us tonight. If we want to make this thing a success, I'm telling you, if Jesus was here, he probably would have come in like today and did something that shocks you a little bit, because he wants to know, are you here for me, or are you here because it's just a fun time? Let me explain it a bit better to you when it comes to church. This is the best way that I could think about this, so please excuse me. Is there someone's birthday today? Yesterday? The day before? There we go, Dominique, awesome, all right. Let's pretend it's Dominique's birthday, all right? And let's also pretend I'm rich. I'm not. I'm a pastor. I'm not rich. Unless I start the Leonard's Healthy Smoothies thing, then I'll be rich. But until then, I'm not rich. Inside joke for those of you who weren't here last week. Listen to the message. But let's just pretend I'm a rich pastor. You did actually get some of them now that I think about it. But let's pretend I'm a rich pastor. And I say to him, listen, you've been working so hard helping us with the sound. I know it bombed out a little bit this morning. That's okay. We still want to bless you. We love you. We're going to arrange a massive party for you. And I say to Dominic, Dom, let's pick any restaurant in Stellenbosch. I would pick Manouche if you've ever been there. It's an amazing restaurant. I love it. And I'd say, cool, we're gonna go to Manouche. It's your decision. We'll go there. It's paid for everyone. You can invite as many people as you want. I'll pay for them, all of them. And in fact, pick any band that you like, and I'll get that band to come and play, band, to play live that evening. And we'll give them sweets and like extra stuff to take home. We'll get like someone to share a cool message about you. It'll be awesome. It's going to be great. Now imagine we have this party. It's in, I think, Reinefeld Street, and the street is buzzing. People are sitting outside. It's an awesome vibe. People are loving it, and people are enjoying it. Some people come past Dominique, and they give him a pat on the back, and they're like, oh, cool guy. This is the best party I've ever been to. Now imagine during that evening, I take Dominique aside. I say, just come stand here. And we look at the crowd, and I say to him, Dominique, isn't it amazing that all these people came for you? I think if he was honest, he might even be offended by that, and he might say, I don't really think they're here for me, I think they're here for them. Does that make sense? Like, if I say to him, okay, so let's take this, what if we cancel this party, and at my place, I'm just going to have a little plunger with a bit of coffee, and I'll have a few biscuits. And we say, okay, invite your friends and let them come have coffee at my place to celebrate your birthday. How many people do you think would come then? Not so many, am I right? You see, the church is actually quite the same. Many times we look at a church, you walk into a church, you think this is massive, it's awesome, it's great. But I wonder if you were to take Jesus aside and say, Jesus, isn't it great that all of these people are here for you? Don't you think he'd say, I don't think all of them are here for me. I think some of them are here because it's a great message. Awesome worship. Godfrey just, he does the stuff. Like, I think Jesus would say that. And that's the same with us coming to church. It's a question every one of us need to answer. Why are you here? Are you here because you are devoted? Because if you're going to be devoted, truly devoted, devoted to seeing Jesus, devoted to getting to know him better, we are going to change lives. We're going to, with the power of Jesus, we're going to make a massive impact. But if you're here because you're just part of the crowd and it's fun, this is not something to say when you plant a church. But then rather don't be here. Because you're going to dilute us. That sounds harsh. It does sound harsh. My wife's going to be angry afterwards. But actually, if we want to really have a church that glorifies Jesus, that when he looks at it, he smiles, we need to have a church where Jesus says, every person there, they might have their mistakes, they might not always get it, but they're devoted to seeing me. They give their best to seeing me. And if we're going to do that, this thing is going to be off the charts, because Jesus is going to be a member at this church, and I want him to be a member here. If he's not a member, I'm not here. I said that last week. So here's a few questions for you. Just to test your heart, to prod at your heart a little bit. What if your friends stop coming to church? Would you still come? Are you hungry enough for Jesus, devoted enough to him to say, Lord, I'm not here for my friends, I'm here for you, I want to see you. What if we had like a very long service next week and the week after and the week after, and you're like, oh, I've got studies to do. What if we do that? Would you stop coming? It might be that is a question that you need to answer, because you can't be here because it's a short service or a nice service or it's not so in your face. You need to be here to say, Jesus, I want to seek you, and I see you when I come here. I know that you're here, and I want to see you when I come here. What if worship next week is just like very long? Or what if it's very short for those of you who love worship, and we're like, no, we're going to can the worship for a few weeks because we feel like the Lord is leading us there. What would you do? Would you stop coming? Would you say, well, cool, at least there's 200 other churches in Stellenbosch that I can pick from. I'll just go to another one. What would you do? See, the question of whether you're part of the crowd or whether you're a devoted follower of Jesus is one of the most important questions that you need to answer. I was in a prayer meeting once, long ago. It totally freaked me out, I must say. I went to this church and everything was weird there. It was in Wellington. I came from the Dutch Reformed Church, stepped into this hyper-charismatic church. If some of you think tonight was wild, it's nothing, promise. Nothing. That was like a wild church. And I walked in one of the prayer meetings, and we were praying because we had to do our duty, like you have to pray. I was a student there, had to start praying. And as we're praying, the guy that leads the church, he stops. Oh, it would freak me out. He said, as we were praying, God showed me a light bulb above every single head. And some of the light bulbs were on, and some of them were off. And he said, if your light bulb's not on, you're sinning against Jesus. Switch it on. See, you can be praying, you can do all the right things, you can be at church, you can worship, you can listen to a message, but that light bulb needs to be on. You need to be devoted. You need to say, God, I want you, I need you, I seek you. That's the type of people that Jesus is looking for. And in fact, he actually doesn't like it if we do the opposite. He doesn't like it if we are here, and there's a solution later, but he doesn't like it when he comes into a church and it's just a bunch of attendees. And people just go because it's fun. He doesn't like it. In Malachi 1, verse 10 to 11, he says the following. I'm going to read it in my translation. It's the message. So maybe you can put it off there. You guys can listen to me. Otherwise, I know only the girls will be able to read and listen. Guys, for your sake, I will read it. Yeah. This is in the book of Malachi. God is actually speaking to what was then the church of the day. Saying, why doesn't one of you just shut the temple doors and lock them? He's saying, why don't you just close this church? Why don't you lock the doors? Why don't you just stop coming? Then none of you can get in and play at religion with the simple, empty-headed worship. Yes, man, I've been in churches and I've been victims, or like I've been this person. I must repent tonight. Where I just sing songs for the heck of it, because I think I must sing songs. I've been in churches where I know the people, I know they're not living for God, but like when the worship comes, they're singing. Empty-headed worship is what the Bible calls it there. I am not pleased. The God of the angel armies is not pleased, and I don't want any more of this so-called worship. Offering God something hand-me-down, broken, or useless. And then he goes on to say, in fact, I've got people all over the world worshiping me. I don't need your worship. So decide, are you going to be devoted because you want to see me? Or are you going to do this Christian thing because you think it's going to be nice for you? Listen to this quote from Francis Chan when he writes about one of his friends. He says, years ago, my friend from India drove me to a speaking engagement in Dallas, Texas, right? When he heard the music, obviously great music, and saw the lights, you know, you've been to those places. Just, it's a show, like an amazing show when you walk in. My Indian friend said to me, you Americans, and just cross out Americans, right? South Africans, because we're very similar. You South Africans are funny. You don't show up unless there's a good speaker or band. In India, people get excited just to pray. He proceeded to tell me our believers back home love communion and how they flock to simple prayer gatherings. I imagine God looking down on the earth and seeing people on the one side of the planet, gathering expectedly whenever prayer is happening. Meanwhile, on the other side of the planet, people show up just for the most talented people and the atmosphere. It's actually quite embarrassing. Yeah, I don't want to be that embarrassing church. I don't want us to be a church where when God looks down, he sees people who just come because they are devoted and they love Jesus, but we come because it's fun. I don't want to be that church. And I believe the fact that you're sitting here, I believe most of you also don't want that type of church. You want a church of red-hot followers of Jesus, people like fully running for him, fully giving their lives to him. That's what we want. So I want to just help you as I start. No, I'm not going to land quite yet. I won't lie. Just a little, just about 45 to an hour, and then I'll be done. No worries. I'm kidding. Hopefully you'll still stay. I'm kidding. But I want to show you what I want to do is, in a sense, put a mirror in front of you. I think some of you are already experiencing conviction, and you're already like, oh, Leonard, that hurts. That's not nice. You, like, up in my grill. It's not great. You're offending me, Leonard. But I want to just offend you a little bit more so that I can help you a little bit more as well, okay? So I'm going to put a mirror in front of us to see whether we are here because we are devoted to Jesus or whether we aren't. And I want to use an analogy to explain how I think we can see, look in this mirror at our own lives and know whether we are really devoted. The analogy is of me, again. And I read a book the other day where they said, if you preach, don't make yourself the hero of your stories. Make yourself, like, make sure you tell the bad sides. So here's a bad side of me. I picked up weight recently. I hit 30, I became fat-ish. Fat-ish, right? People were telling me, listen, when you hit 30, things are going to go downhill. And I thought, no. I'm like a skinny guy. I'm quite active. Last year I ran a marathon. I did this massive mountain bike race. I'm quite a fit guy. 30 will never hit me. And then somewhere at the end of last year, I just stopped exercising. And from about August, when I finished that mountain bike race, to December, I picked up about 7 kilograms, all right? And for the first time in my life, when I went to sit down, I could feel my tummy on my jean. Not great. It's not what you want. In fact, last week when I preached, 2 people came to me and said, listen, Leonard, I'm telling you this because I love you. But your shirt was a bit tight around your belly. It was a bit revealing. So I went to buy a shirt for today. It's brand new. First time I'm wearing it. It's a bit looser around the tummy. I'm working on it, obviously. But you know what the problem for me is? I know that I need to be devoted to losing weight. Otherwise, it's never going to happen. But I get super intimidated because I know what I have to do. I have to cut out cappuccinos. And oh, I love a cappuccino. I love a flat white. I have many of them every single week, every single day. I have many of them. I know that I need to start eating a bit more healthy. I know. I know I need to start running again. And when I run, it's difficult. My legs have become quite heavy, huh? Yes, I need to stop eating sour worms, my wife says. That is a thorn in my flesh. I enjoy sour worms too much. She caught me out today. Anyway, so all of these things, like all the things that I need to do, it sort of scares me from becoming devoted to losing weight. But you see, the key is I need to be devoted to losing weight, not devoted to running. Yes, also, not primarily devoted to eating less. Not primarily devoted to not eating sour worms. My devotion needs to be, I want to lose weight. Now, here's the thing. When we think of these things and we think, I need to be red hot for Jesus, what we think is, oh, I'm going to have to start reading Bible. Oh, it's so difficult. I don't understand it. Or we think, oh, man, I'm going to have to start praying. It's so awkward praying. I don't know what to say. You start thinking that. Or we think, I'm going to have to come to church. And you're like, oh, yeah, 2 weeks ago was fun, but this week sucked. It wasn't nice. You might think that. But I want to say, don't get despondent because of all of those things. The thing is, the thing that you need to answer is, I want to be devoted to Jesus. And what then happens is, the things start flowing out of you naturally. First thing to get right is your heart, and your hands will follow. First, fix your heart. Bring your heart before Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm not devoted. I realize it. Acceptance is the first key to recovery. Accept it. Say, Jesus, if I'm honest, I'm singing the songs, but it's only with my lips. I don't really mean it. Jesus, come and fix my heart. And I'm telling you, all of the other devotions will start following. Yes, it's going to take self-discipline, but it's going to flow out of a place of wanting to see more of Jesus, wanting to be passionate for him. And so the question is not only what you do, if I had to put the mirror against you. But how do you do it? I'll explain it now. I can say, cool, I'm going to go for a run. I need to be devoted to running. But how I go run reveals whether there's real devotion behind it. Because I could go for a run, just follow me here. And this is what happens. And I'm like, this is not nice. And I moan the whole time while I'm doing a run. Or I run now, and in 3 weeks' time, I run again, but there's no continuity. See, it's not just whether I'm running, it's how I'm running. Is my heart really in it when I'm running? If my heart's not really in it, I know my first devotion is wrong. If my second devotion points out that my first devotion is wrong, same with Jesus. It's one thing that you read your Bible. It's a good thing that you read your Bible. But if you read your Bible just to get through it, oh, whew, God loves me again. I read my one chapter for the day. Then your devotion to Jesus is not where it should be. And you need to come before him in repentance. If you think, okay, I'm just going to church again because I know I need it. I don't want to, but I know it. And your heart is not in it. You're not yet really seeking Jesus. It's not just going to church. It's how you go to church that reveals whether you've lost your devotion. Praying. It's not just praying, saying, oh, okay, I did my 5 minutes of prayer today. It's not just that. It's when you pray, are you really seeking Jesus? Or is it, I pray now and in 3 weeks' time I might pray again? Or is there seeking of God when you pray? It's what you do and how you do it. So you need to answer. You need to hold the mirror up in front of you tonight and me in front of me as well. We need to hold that mirror up and say, how is it going with our relationship with God? If you are praying, that's the first question. Are you praying? If that's no, that's a problem. And then how are you praying? Is it with passion? Is it with devotion? If it's not, you need to come before Jesus. He is the one that can come and bring breakthrough to us. So the question is, as I start ending, what do we do if we've lost our devotion? I wish I could just actually ask you, like, who of you actually feel like you've lost your devotion a little bit? Some of you, eh? Two people, nice. Come on. No, I'm kidding. I know there's many of us sitting here tonight because I've felt it in my life as well. Times where I just dry up, lose my devotion. What do you do? See, it depends. It depends whether you're a Christian or not. And firstly, I want to speak to the Christians here tonight. I'm not just assuming that everyone has given their lives to Jesus. Let's speak to the Christians. Revelation 2, verse 3 to 5 gives us an answer. This is a scripture where Jesus is speaking to a church. Again, he's doing it plural. He's speaking to a group of people, and he's saying something to them. He says, I know that you endure patiently and are bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. So he first starts saying, you're not doing too poorly. You're doing okay. And I think for many of us, we can say that, oh, I've lost some devotion, but I'm at least doing some. But then Jesus says to that church, the church of Ephesus, the book of Ephesians was written to them, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. I've lost my love. I've lost my first love. My heart has grown weary. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Jesus is looking at a church. He's giving it a stark warning. He says, if you keep neglecting your first love, if you keep not being devoted, I'm going to remove your lampstand. That means I'm going to take my life from that church. But he says, if you want to repent, I want you to repent. Remember from where you've fallen. Remember your devotion. Repent. Come to me. Say sorry. And then thirdly, he says, go and do the works you did at first. The best thing for a heart that's lost devotion is to jump in and serve Jesus fully. It might not feel like it. The best thing for me, if I don't feel like running, you know what it is? It's running. That's the best thing, because as I run, something wakes up again. And what Jesus is saying is, he says, repent and do the works you did at first. See, the interesting thing about the kingdom is, the more you eat, the hungrier you get. The more you drink, the thirstier you get. So if you're feeling like the thirst is gone, drink of him. Go, run fully, give yourself fully, slot in with us, run this race with us, and you'll see God restoring your heart. We're going to pray and bring our hearts before God in just a moment as we end.